flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We approach 4 o'clock here on this Friday, our first Friday. Our very first Friday without football since the summer. Oh, my God, isn't that a depressing feeling? But don't worry, we got other stuff going on this weekend. The Lakers are taking on the Knicks. Maybe you could spend time with your family. Now, if you are tuning in on SNY, you'll notice a little decoration change here in our studio. Right behind us is a stand-up of Boomer Esiason. It's like a stand-up poster of Boomer Esiason. Phil Simms is connected to him, which I don't know why. I think they're just best friends. So we covered Phil Simms' head up with a Rey Mysterio Jr. mask, only because Phil doesn't need this shrapnel. So we have Boomer right behind us, and we have a clock around his neck. And the reason there's a clock around his neck is Boomer told us, and we trust Boomer, he's never wrong about anything, that the New York Mets were going to re-sign Pete Alonso today. He said that. And so I hope he's right. Never since 2021, when he was talking about mandates, have I ever hoped Boomer would be this right. But we need to hold him accountable. So there's a clock around his neck. Tick tock, tick tock. If Pete Alonso is not re-signed by the Mets before 5 o'clock, that clock will be replaced with this.
The big L.
A big L. The beautiful L that people have to wear around here when they get something wrong. Because I know the real Boomer Esiason would never wear this L.
I'm reporting it's the Admirals.
He would break this L if we tried to put it around his neck. So, let's just go to the Pete Alonso news desk. Sean, has Pete Alonso signed with the New York Mets?
He has not.
He has not.
Can't even believe it.
No. But I will say, though, last night, John Heyman did have a Scott Boras puppet moment saying the Reds could be, you know, damper things.
Come on. The Reds?
The Reds.
When was the last time the Reds spent any money?
Well, they gave Ellie De La Cruz a lot of money in that international bonus pool. Does that not count?
I thought you said, wait, did they sign him for a long-term extension already?
No.
I mean, they should, but they're not.
I don't know where this and how this will end with Pete Alonso. I don't think it'll be today, but I hope it is today. Because we talk about putting L's around Boomer's neck. Let me tell you something right now. If Boomer is right, Tiki knows how I feel about him, because Tiki once made a very grandiose, not prediction, he had news, and said, the Wilpons are selling the Mets. Remember that whole thing?
I do.
And I said to Tiki, or at least I said it on the air, if Tiki's right, I'll build a statue of him in my basement. I haven't built that statue yet.
I'll give you a bobblehead.
I'll take it. But he was right. So if Boomer's right, there's a chance that I'm going to pick up this stand-up poster, I'm going to hug it, I'm going to put it on my neck. Me and Loogie are going to run around the studio all excited because I want him to be right.
Will you be that excited as well, Loogie?
Oh, definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
Kissing, making out with Boomer?
No. Right. With Boomer? Yeah. No.
Well, did I say I was going to make out with Boomer?
Yeah. No, but I think you will.
You think I'd make out with Boomer Esiason?
If he's right, yes, definitely.
No, I think if Pete signs the next hour, you make out with Boomer, he makes out with Luchador Phil, and that's it.
I will admit, since it's not the real Boomer Esiason, and it's this beautiful, and he looks very handsome in this, like, stand-up poster, if Pete signs in the next hour, you're right. I'll probably kiss him. Maybe on the forehead or something like that. Or maybe on his cheek. I don't know. But I'll be very excited.
It's a good-looking picture of Boomer right
there. He looks about 12 years younger than he actually is. But he looks good. Yeah, so that's behind us, and we're just keeping tabs on this. That's why we have a clock around his neck, because tick-tock, will Pete Alonso re-sign with the New York Mets? I'm certainly hoping so. Real quick before we get back to your call, there's been a lot today. A lot of talk around the Super Bowl, Giant fans who they're rooting for, Shador Sanders, Patrick Mahomes being the greatest of all time. The New York Jets hired their DC the other day, Steve Wilks. Good hire, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he's a good hire. Steve has been, I just had to go look at his CV, they say these days, his resume. He's been in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Now, most of them have been Carolina. He was at Carolina for, I think, 6 years and then got the head coaching job, obviously in Arizona, was one and done. Then he goes to college for a year. Then he's back as an assistant in Carolina. Then he was the interim coach, and he was in San Francisco. Then he took a year off. Like he's been in a lot of places. But he is a good defensive coordinator. He has a good defensive mind and philosophy. So I think it is a good hire.
I feel like Steve Wilks has been scapegoated more than once in his career.
Yes.
He was scapegoated when he was the one-year head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and he was also scapegoated when he was fired as defensive coordinator of the San Francisco 49ers. Because they got to the Super Bowl, and I think Kyle Shanahan needed to blame somebody for what happened, and so they got rid of Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks is a solid defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He has had coaching experience, which is nice.
Right.
Because you're Aaron Glenn on that sideline. It's the first time you're doing it as the head guy. It certainly helps to have a guy that at least you can speak to who's used to the rigors of being a head coach. He's had two different experiences. He was the interim in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Most of us believed he did a good enough job to keep that job.
Right. That was the year that Frank Wright took over as the head coach.
Right.
It wasn't even he was overmatched in that job. I think he expected his rookie quarterback to be more like a vet, and Bryce Young struggled mightily.
Right.
So he ended up getting fired.
Yeah, so it obviously was a complete disaster.
Right.
The offensive coordinator hire. So Nick Caley was the guy who about a week ago or a few days ago, I was even excited about him. Mm-hmm. My reasoning was, even admitting I don't know much about him,
right,
was other young guy.
Other than that he's in the right tree.
Right, the McVay tree.
Right.
But I was hoping the Jets are going to hire the next great offensive coordinator. They don't need an offensive coordinator with head coaching experience. They need an offensive coordinator who can be the guy who 2 years from now, some other team is stealing. That's what I want.
Right, because you want him to be so good that other teams desire him.
Absolutely. So I don't need someone that, oh, he's got head coaching experience. Great. No. I want the next great mind. So Nick Caley, obviously coming from the McVay tree, interviewing all over the place, seemed like a logical person. He had so little interest in the Jet job. And Connor Hughes pointed out that it probably had to do with working with LaFleur, who did not have a good experience with the Jets, Mike LaFleur, that he probably was like, I ain't going to work for that organization.
Right.
So the Jets never even got their foot in the door with Nick Caley, but they end up hiring Tanner Engstrand, who is on the Lions staff. And he has a history with Darren Mugi as well, because he was the quarterback's coach back years ago when Darren Mugi was a player at San Diego State.
Is that right?
I swear, yeah, there's a connection.
That's a random connection. But obviously he knows Aaron Glenn.
It's a double connection.
From being on the Detroit Lions staff. So there's a familiarity with what they were doing in Detroit.
Right.
So you can expect, obviously, that type of offensive system is now going to be instituted here with the Jets.
So the concern that some people had, I want to lay it out because it's interesting. And then either you can say, stop it, Evan, it's not a real thing, Jet fans should calm down, or you could say, oh, it's a real concern, is that Tanner Engstrand could have been promoted and taken Ben Johnson's job. Dan Campbell decided not to do that. He went outside the organization, and who did he hire again, Sean, for OC for the Detroit Lions?
Johnny Morton, the former wide receiver.
Right.
Johnny Morton, okay? So number one.
Which is interesting, considering he had Mark Brunell on his staff.
Right, Mark Brunell and Tanner Engstrand.
I know.
Could have promoted either
guy. But I'm just saying, Mark Brunell is a former quarterback, former player.
Right.
He hired someone outside of the organization, but also another former player.
Absolutely. On the other side, Ben Johnson just took a job in Chicago and could have stolen Tanner Engstrand with him to make him OC and did not.
Wait, who did he take?
I think Ben Johnson's calling his own play, so I don't even know if it matters. And I think that's a part of why, if you're Tanner Engstrand, going to Chicago wouldn't have even been the best move for you, because you're going to Chicago, and what are you doing there as OC?
Right.
Like, that's Ben Johnson's show. And even if he does and has great success in Chicago, I don't know if the OC is going to get a lot of credit. So that was the concern.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Turn some hat of if he didn't get promoted for OC in Detroit and didn't get taken with him by Ben Johnson in Chicago, is that a warning sign?
Yeah, Press Taylor, by the way, is the OC and Ben Johnson staff for the Bears, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So is that a warning sign to you?
I don't think it's a warning sign. I think it's a real conversation that they likely had. So if Engstrand goes to the Bears with Ben Johnson, what's he going to be doing? He's basically going to be his valet.
Right.
Right. He's going to be, do everything that I don't have time to do, but I'm the coordinator. I'm calling the plays. And if you're Engstrand, you want your chance. You want your real chance, because he wasn't just like the assistant quarterback coach or assistant wide receiver. He was the pass game coordinator of the Detroit Lions a year ago. And so this is a real chance for him now with the Jets and having his own gig to actually call plays and not have an offensive coach influencing him. You know what I mean? Because his head coach is a defensive coach. So I think it made more sense for Engstrand to go elsewhere other than follow Ben Johnson.
So Tanner Engstrand is going to be talked about a lot. In fact, we will probably mention his name more than Darren Mooji because the offensive coordinator always gets some heat or love, depending on how things go. What are we calling him? Because Tanner Engstrand is like a real, it takes a lot. Are we calling him Tan? Are we calling him Strand? Are we calling him Eng? Like, what are we calling him? Because we're not doing Engstrand.
What's his nickname, you mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Especially for us. Like, every
By
time.
By the way, I had never heard of him.
I never heard of him either.
Tanny?
I think we go last name. I think it's got to be something with Engstrand.
Strandy?
What are you, like Aaron Boone over there?
What up, Strandy? That's what everybody does with the nicknames.
Strandy?
Strandy actually is not too bad.
That may work.
The Strandy Man?
The Strandy Man can.
Now, I do hope we're not cursing him out come October, but the truth is, none of us know. Like, this is one of those hires where it's like, I hope Aaron Glenn knows what the hell he's doing. Because I don't know how one could have a strong opinion one way or the other on Tanner Engstrand. I hope he's great. I hope he's the answer. I hope 3 years from now, the Giants are poaching him because he's a great offensive coordinator and you're going to make him head coach.
Maybe he'll be putting defenses in the tanning bed.
What?
Tanner, Engstrand.
I like it.
Thank you.
I don't like it. I just knew you were setting up for something. So I was like, prepared. Hey, Fake Sean, do you have like a cool nickname or phrase that you can use with Tanner Engstrand? Maybe it'll be better than real Sean.
Yes, so Tanner Engstrand, what is an egg shaped like? Real Sean, do you know what it's shaped like? An egg? It's circular. Zero. It's for the amount of wins the Jets are going to have. And he's the offensive coordinator, and he's going to be on the unemployment line with Aaron Glenn. But. They will be hired by the Giants, and they will win a Super Bowl under Brian Dable and Drew Shane.
I still get a kick out of Fake Sean, I got to tell you. It still makes me laugh. All right, let's get to your calls. Of course, as soon as Pete Alonso signs, which we're expecting in the next hour, since Boomer told us last night on social media and again this morning will happen today, as soon as that happens, let us know so Lugie and I could play with real Boomer or fake Boomer, whatever that thing is behind me, and take the clock off and celebrate because Pete Alonso's a man. So certainly let us know. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Nick in Massapequa. How are you, Nick?
Good. How are we doing today, gentlemen?
What's up? Good.
So, talking about this Lawrence that's a diehard fan,
yes,
rooting for the Eagles.
Yes.
He had me until he said diehard. If you're a diehard fan of any team, you have a hierarchy of hatred that you spread around your other teams. I'm a diehard Islanders fan, and you root for two teams. You root for the Islanders and whoever's playing the Rangers. When the Rangers were playing the Lightning, who would knock the Islanders out of the playoffs back-to-back years and their best chance to win a cup since I've been alive.
Mm-hmm.
I rooted for the Rangers to lose
because
I hate them more than any other team. And if you're a diehard fan of any team, especially the Giants in New York, you have to hate the Eagles more than anybody
else. Thank you, Nick. I feel bad for poor Lawrence. Yeah. Lawrence made a phone call 2 hours ago on this radio station simply saying, I'm a diehard Giant fan who can't root for the Chiefs. I'm rooting for the Eagles. And now his fellow Giant fan are all taking his fan call
away. I
got to
call a 30-second timeout and correct you guys real quickly.
Yes.
Because you guys were going on about Johnny Morton. I played with Chad Morton, so Johnny Morton I know a little bit. And I didn't think he was coaching. And so I just looked him up, and Johnny Morton is not a coach. Johnny Morton, who is the Detroit Lions' new offensive coordinator.
Different Johnny Morton?
Is the Johnny Morton who was the Jets' offensive coordinator in 2017.
Gotcha.
He is a white 55-year-old guy, not a black 53-year-old former wide receiver from USC and multiple teams in the NFL.
Different Johnny Morton.
Yeah. Different Johnny Morton spelled differently.
There you go. What, which spelled differently, the Morton or the Johnny?
The Y.
Yeah.
The Y, not IE.
So me and Evan probably both deserve to wear an L here because I think we were both under the assumption it's Johnny Morton. It's the Lions. It's Dan Campbell hiring.
Well, I mean, I didn't think much of it.
They both played wide receiver.
Yeah. Right.
They both played in college and in the NFL. And so I can understand the confusion. But when I looked up the signing of the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, it was with a Y. And I was like, wait, there's no way that the Associated Press screwed up the spelling of the new offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, especially given that Johnny Morton played in the league and I think also played for the Lions, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Now, to defend Evans, well, not, I guess I don't even know if it's a defense at this point.
I have no defense. All Evans I care about, was, hold on, let me finish. All I care about is who the Jets were hiring. I didn't give a crap about the Lions offensive coordinator.
But
I care about the Lions offensive coordinator in September. So it was more, hey, is it an issue that they didn't promote this guy?
Okay.
Is that a warning sign?
That's
otherwise, I don't care who the Lions
But that's where I'm going to defend you.
I don't need defense.
No. This Johnny Morton was Dan Campbell's senior offensive assistant and left just last year to go join Sean Payton in Denver on his offensive staff and has now come back.
Right.
So, although he left for a year, it is kind of like Dan Campbell still promoting somebody. This was one of his senior offensive assistants.
Right. By the way, he also coached at USC,
which is
a few years after Johnny Morton, the wide receiver, left the USC.
Says something at the Jets offense that nobody remembered they had this guy as their offensive coordinator.
I barely do either, because think about what 2017 was. Like, there are years as a fan that become what I like to call the lost years. Like, they're years, you experienced it, but you remember so little about it because it was such a waste of time. So, for example, what was 2017 for the New York Jets? Do you remember what it is?
No.
I'll tell you exactly what it is. That was the suck for Sam year. And so Josh McCown was their quarterback, and we all expected that the Jets were tanking. It was a tank year. And I'll never forget, I was arguing with my old producer, Ernie Acosta, because he was big on the tank. And I'm like, I'm not a tanker. I want to win. Mm. And the Jets got off to a good start that year. And I think they were like 3-2. And they're playing the Patriots, right? That may have been the same Austin Seferian Jenkins game where Austin Seferian Jenkins scored a touchdown, but then they ruled it a fumble through the end zone for a touchback. And I was into it. I wanted my team to win. And Ernie, as a Jet fan who wanted a tank, was rooting against them, saying, we need a better pick. We need a better pick. Meanwhile, the Jets ended up stinking. They didn't have as bad of a year as we thought because they ended up with the 6th pick in the draft. Then they end up trading up to 3, and they got Sam Darnold anyway. So I tell you that whole story to say I have no idea who their OC was that year.
Right.
So when you say Johnny Morton, I'm like, oh, okay.
He was only the OC for a year.
Yeah, one and done.
Hired in 17, fired January of 18.
So is that his only OC experience?
That is his only. Oh, well, at USC he was an OC.
And USC. Yeah. I'm going to make your prediction right now, a little long-term prediction. The Lions are going to come crashing down to earth next year. I really feel it. They lose Ben Johnson.
Talent
they lose
drain.
Aaron Glenn.
Talent drain happens.
Talent drain. The coach. I just.
Right.
They're not winning the division next year.
Eggstrand is gone too.
Yep. So. That's right. They lost Eggstrand.
Right.
Eggstrand. Right. They will have. And I'm not saying it's going to be like 4-13 or anything like that, but they are going to have a year in which they clearly don't win the division. And I'm going to go a 9-8 year. That's how I'll say it. So that's a disappointing season. Lions go 9-8. People
are pissed
off.
Where they have been the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my long-term prediction about the Lions. Let's go to Jimmy in Warren County. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing?
All's good.
First off, Tiki.
What's up?
You're my first favorite Giant.
Thank you, man.
And you're the reason why I'm a diehard Giants fan.
Love it. Appreciate
you. Let me tell you something, brothers. Thank you. Nobody who calls themselves a diehard Giants fan is going to root for the Philadelphia Eagles in anything. Especially since they've been getting over on us on and off the field for 25, 30 years.
That's getting not quite that long, but it's getting there. It's
well, you know, there's a lot of stuff that went on. They jumped us in the draft. You know, they tanked the game so we didn't go to the playoffs. They're not rooting for us. And I'm going to leave you guys with one thing, and I hope Eagle fans are listening. The Giants have a trophy room. The Eagles have a trophy drawer, and that's not going to change. Tiki, thank you, man, for everything you did for this franchise.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Class and pride, you're a pro. Let's go.
Thank you, bud.
What Jimmy is asking you to say, even though he didn't do it, is he wants you to say to that young caller, I sound like a young man too, like Lawrence. In his 30s, Lawrence in OKC.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to say to Lawrence from OKC, the guy who said, I'm a diehard Giant fan, but I'm rooting for the Eagles. He wants you to say, Lawrence, you're dead to us.
You're dead to me. He's not, though. He seems like he's a young, good kid.
You're a nice guy.
I am a nice
Sean,
guy.
Sean, do you want it dead to us, Lawrence in OKC?
I actually don't. This is goes against everything I say. He does seem like a nice guy. He's just lost in the world. And I think he just needs to come
That's
home.
That's what happens when your team sucks for as long as the Giants have stuck.
Yeah, that's
Tiki,
true.
He's relocated. He needs to come home. If he came
home. Lost in the world in that regard. So he's not close to it. So he doesn't feel it, see it, listen to it every day.
He is too detached in Oklahoma City.
Even though
he's
he is,
a lost cause.
Even though he is regularly on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah.
But you still don't feel it.
You don't feel it
you
every don't, day.
You can listen all the time. You don't feel those Phillies breathing down your neck.
That's true.
Billy is in Merrick. What's up, Billy?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, how are you?
What's up?
All's good.
I got to call you guys out on one thing. I think news update breaking glass should only be for one thing today, and that should be for Pete Alonso signing. You can't have us Mets fans sitting on the edge of our seats and getting a breaking of the glass.
You're right.
You know, of Tom Brady being a quarterback for the Raiders.
That's a good call.
You're right. I think you're spot on, and I'll give you an example on why I feel that way. Tiki and I are in a Mets text chat, and in said Mets text chat, they send a lot of articles, a lot of information. They just sent another John Heyman, Scott Boras written article.
David,
and I almost want to ban it, because listen to the headline of this article. This is just unbelievable. It's a joke to me. Might the Mets stage a big negotiating comeback and bring back Pete Alonso? They already pulled off one big pleasant surprise this winter. And it's a whole article regurgitating zero information, just repeating Scott Boras's lasting cry to get the Mets to re-sign Pete Alonso. So he should stop publishing out articles unless there's new information. And you're right. We shouldn't break the glass, especially on a day where Boomer Esiason is wearing a clock around his neck because he told us Pete's re-signing today. We should not break the glass until or if he re-signs.
40 minutes. You can break it at 5 when it doesn't happen, though.
Yes, because that'll be the breaking news of he was wrong. And the L goes around his neck. So that, yes, that'll be the time. But until then, we got to keep it for Pete Alonso actually re-signing. And I got a spoiler alert for you. He's not re-signing today.
Why? Because it's a Friday news dump and nobody would pay attention to
it? Has nothing to do with that. I think
that's what the Cowboys did when they hired Brian Schottenheimer.
Right, but the Mets wouldn't want to be burying this news story. They'd be excited about it.
Of course you would.
I think the reason why it's not going to happen today, and if he does re-sign, which I'm hopeful about, but I'm not guaranteeing.
Hold on, let me think about this if I'm the Mets.
Yeah.
Wouldn't I want to do this on a weekend with no football? I guess the Knicks and Lakers is a big story, but this would kill it.
I don't think it matters. I think you're overthinking it. When did they announce, or when did it come out they were signing Soto?
Sunday night.
On a Sunday night?
Sunday night, yeah, but that was Sunday night going into Monday, so you knew it was going to talk. You're going to talk about it all day.
You think that was the reason?
I don't know.
Nah.
I'm just talking about from PR 101.
I don't think these baseball signings have anything to do with PR. I think it's literally when a deal gets done. Mm. And in the case of Alonso, this is a stare down, and it's going to be stare down into spring training. I'm just telling you right now, like, this isn't settled this weekend. It's probably not even going to be settled next week. I think this is something that goes into spring training. I've told you this for a while, my opinion on this. Like, when you get, and Boras has shown you that's his thing.
Yeah.
He takes it into spring training.
Yeah, Mets good PR would have been doing it last week with Amazing Day.
Of course. I suggested.
No, you're right. 100%.
Remember what I suggested? The surprise Pete Alonso show up. They take the thing off like he's a surprise entrant in the Royal
Rumble. Also, let's not forget, though, that last weekend, they weren't talking. They didn't start talking again until Steve Cohen called him out,
got right.
real, and said, look, I'm frustrated by these negotiations. It's more exhausting than Juan Soto. It's not fair, blah, 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 blah. Basically, we're moving on. We're going to sign other people, and as more of those that we sign, there's less room for Pete Alonso.
Right.
And that's when Pete got on a plane the next day, at least according to Evan, not this Evan, the
yeah,
Evan
different
Evan. Studio a couple of days ago, and came back up here. Now, he still hasn't signed a deal yet. That was on Sunday. It is now Friday, and Boomer thinks it's happening in the next 38 minutes.
He also thought the Commanders would be the Admirals.
Mm. I mean, he was close.
He was very close.
I mean, that's...
I'm reporting it's the Admirals.
Like, if you're out of nowhere, you have no idea about anything. Was it down to a certain few?
I don't remember.
I don't think so. But so, if you say, I think it's the Admirals, and it's actually the Commanders, that's actually kind of close.
You know what you should do? As the other former athlete on our radio station?
What's that?
Even though no one's going to care, it'll just be funny. I think you should just report what the Utah Hockey Club's name is going to be. Because they're down to like three names now.
Yeah.
You know what three names they're down to?
I know one is the Yetis.
No, they won't use it because apparently it's got like a trademark issue. So it's the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeti, Yeti, Yeti.
It's the Utah Mammoth. And it's the Utah Wasatch. Wasatch? What the hell's a Wasatch?
Wasatch.
Wasatch. You want to report what the Utah Hockey Club's going to be? I'm reporting it's the Mammoth.
It's the Utah Hockey Club is going to be the Utah Hockey Club.
And you're reporting that?
I'm reporting that.
Wow. No, no, no. You can't do that unless there's Pete news.
No, there's Met news.
Oh, there's Met news? Is it Pete news, though? Met. A caller just said, and we agreed, before you give any news, a caller just said, we can't break glass, and I agreed with him, unless there's Alonso news.
Well, good news for the caller is he doesn't run the show. The Mets.
Unbelievable.
John Heyman has a Mets signing.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
I don't believe you.
They've signed infielder Nick Madrigal.
What?
See, give him the L for that. You cannot break the glass
what do you
for
mean?
Nick Madrigal.
No.
Good little player.
Stop
the
it.
Mets have signed player. An infielder.
No.
John Heyman's reported it.
No.
And you know why we have to do these kind of things with these Mets signings?
No.
You don't get... I'm overruling everybody with the L.
Nick Madrigal?
Because you know what you do, Evan?
What?
You sit there during the show and your little Met chat would have popped that up and you would have been the first one to go, you see the Mets signing? Tommy, break
on
the glass.
On the air, I'm going to break glass from Nick Madrigal?
Yes, you would have.
Tiki, I would good? Not.
No, you probably wouldn't have.
Thank you. But, get in here and put your stupid L on
you know
for
what?
5 minutes.
No, I'm denying the L. Denying the L because you would have, Tommy. Back
time out. The rule of the L is that it needs to be unanimous.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, I think he should wear an L. Tiki, do you think he should wear an L?
He should wear it for 5 minutes.
I agree. 5 minutes. Tommy, would you agree a 5-minute L warning for Sean Morash for breaking glass for the Mets signing? I wouldn't have even broken it down on the Rico, dummy.
No.
I would have.
I'm going to play inside baseball here.
No, inside baseball. We're talking to Tommy now.
This is BS.
You're done. Tommy. Should he wear the L for 5 minutes?
Here's the problem that I'm looking at here. If Sean has to wear it, then I have to wear it.
Oh.
Because I hit the glass, and I knew about the news.
That's a good point.
Nick Madrigal.
Okay, you guys...
So, if he wears it for five, I will... whatever time you give him, I'll take it.
You guys have a delayed penalty. I reduce it to 2.5 minutes, but it's got to be next week when we get the multiple L's.
All right, fine. I agree with that.
Done. End of the week, you guys are getting 2.5 minutes.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to tell you right now, Evan.
Yes.
If you don't want these little Mets signings...
I don't want these Mets. I'm going to make it clear.
Then,
no more little Mets signings.
Okay, then that's fine. Then you need to do something for us.
What do I have to do for you?
You need to put your phone in another room during the show because your Met chat ruins all of these moments on the show.
Okay, fair enough. Done.
What did they sign him for? $1 million?
2 years, 19 mil.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they
Stop
did.
It. 2 years, 19 million?
Yes, with
There's
a club
no
option
chance.
For year three.
No, they didn't.
I have no idea what the deal is.
Just make stuff up. He has broken every rule of breaking news on Sports Talk Radio. He's breaking glass right after we all agreed. No glass unless it's Alonso news.
By the way, if it's 2 years and 19 mil, so it's like $9.5 million a year.
It's not Tiki.
But I'm just saying, if it was that, that means there's now less money again for Pete Alonso.
Bro.
Right. Now, the fact that he's going to make $1 million, who cares?
Okay,
Nick Madrigal is this middle infielder who's bounced around baseball. He's not even going to get paid anything.
Yeah, but he's 27 years
old. Okay,
former top prospect.
Now, Evan, if you were doing the right thing in the power chair, the question would not be about Pete, would be, are they out on Jose Iglesias now?
I don't think, was it a guaranteed contract? I'm not giving a guarantee. I would give him a spring training invite at this point.
All right, then promise me this.
Unless you have that news, don't break break into it.
You just wasted five minutes of our time. Better
we could have been playing commercials and getting back. Instead, we're dealing with this inane conversation.
I better not see a Rico.
Tommy, can you put this guy back at home for a couple of days? I feel like if he was at home, this wouldn't have been an issue. The Rico Brogna is far different than this show. Like, the Rico, I'm going to do a rewatch from an opening day game in 1985. We're doing a sports talk radio show.
I'm a loser.
And you're interrupting us with Nick Madrigal. 98% of the audience has never heard of Nick Madrigal. In fact, you've never heard of Nick Madrigal.
That's not true.
Tiki, have you heard of Nick Madrigal?
Yeah, he broke his wrist this year.
3 minutes ago.
Yeah, right, before you went down all the what's it called? The Tiki rabbit hole. All right, anyhow, I want to apologize to the audience. There will be no more breaking glass until there's real, actual breaking news. That was a mistake. I think they'll admit they'll made a mistake at some other point, but that was a huge mistake, and we apologize. We'll get back to your calls. Also, CP the Franchise. We're going to talk some Knicks basketball with him in a couple minutes. He's doing a really cool event tomorrow that we'll talk about. But also, what are the Knicks going to do in 5 days? There's an NBA trade deadline on Thursday, and I've been racking my brain trying to figure out what they can offer, what they can even get, and what they even need. So we'll talk to the great CP the Franchise. If you haven't checked out his YouTube show and podcast, you should. Yo! Evan and Tiki on the Fan 436. Now, tomorrow night, the Knicks are playing the Lakers. And let me just give you some advice. Don't bother going to this game. And I'll tell you why. It is so expensive. The secondary market is crazy. It's all LeBron. It could be the final time we see him at Madison Square Garden. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But it is so overpriced. So, if you want to watch the Knicks take on the LA Lakers, we have something else that you can do. And that is hang out with this man. CP, the Franchise, who does a great job every time the Knicks play. He's got the post-game show on the YouTube. I also listen to the podcast. CP, congratulations on your red hot streak as a Knicks fan. How you doing, man?
Evan, happy Friday. Before I get started, first protocol, Mr. Barber, how are you today, sir?
Fantastic. Good job. Go
Big Blue.
Most certainly.
Go Big Blue. The house will rise again.
No doubt.
Shout out to Tommy Lugauer in the booth.
Appreciate it.
Salute to Tommy. Okay, Evan, you can proceed.
Now, for the Knicks fan that doesn't want to spend a fortune, I know you have these watch parties, which are very, very cool. One of these days, I'm going to go to one dressed in full Nets gear. Right. I can't wait for that. That'll be after we win the lottery, and I'll show up with my Cooper Flag jersey. But tell me more about this event you're doing tomorrow night, because it is very cool, and there's a little charity component. So tell us more about what's going on, man.
Yes, so we will be at Slate NY. That's 54 West 21st Street for the Knicks versus Lakers game, watch party, and fundraiser for the Los Angeles Wildfire Relief. I'm going to be partnering with a fellow Knicks fan and content creator, Ben Lyons. He has ties both in the New York and Los Angeles area. And so, you know, he came to me with the idea to do something good, to give back, and to help those in need who were ravaged by those wildfires. And so all proceeds of the event from the door are going to be going directly to the American Red Cross. And then on top of that, we have a ton of items that will be available for silent auction and raffles. So we have two autographed Jalen Brunson jerseys. We have an autographed Josh Hart jersey. We have an autographed Karl Anthony Towns jersey. We have some swag from the WNBA, from the New York Liberty. We also have some gift packages from Eastside Golf. And so, again, all those proceeds will be donated to the charity. And we definitely want to thank the New York Knicks for helping us out in that regard.
Oh, that's a great event. Sounds like you got a lot of things going on, too. And Slate is a great location. I don't know if people have been there or not. I used to do my Thuzio events there and had upstairs and downstairs.
Right,
it's a great spot for an event and a party like that because it's so wide open. So, you know, good luck with the event. You know, as you think about this game, though, CP, is Bronny more going to be more interesting than LeBron in this one?
You know what? He might be, but if I'm T.J. Redick, I'm not putting him out there because, as Tommy said, these Knicks are dogs, right? They are chomping at the bit at any opponent that's coming in, man. I mean, 136 points in the last three games, five-game winning streak. The defense is ferocious right now. J.J. Redick, there's no time for experimenting and, you know, catering to LeBron's needs. Right. You got to come in here to play because the Knicks are ready.
What do you make? So this team has played outstanding over the last three games. It's a five-game winning streak, but you weren't that outstanding against my crappy team. But you've won five in a row. This team is playing some great basketball. Is it the rest that they were finally able to get, the schedule's been favorable in terms of off days and being at home. Is it just the cohesion of these guys having more time to play together? To you, what has been kind of the biggest factor in this red-hot run the Knicks are on right now?
Yeah, I think you could attribute it to a little bit of everything. I mean, certainly, you know, the 3 days of rest in between beating the Brooklyn Nets and then going into and playing against Sacramento certainly helped. But I think it, by and large, it's been the chemistry, especially on the defensive end. And like, you know, in the earlier season, part of the season when these guys were struggling, they would always talk about their lack of chemistry, the lack of communication on the defensive end. And in the bullseye, squarely in the bullseye, was your guy, Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And he's turned it around. His defense has been remarkable. He's getting up on the screens. He's staying attached to his defender. Karl-Anthony Towns was quoted in the post as saying how their communication on the pick and rolls has improved. You know, normally Tom Thibodeau likes to play Towns in the drop coverage, but now you're seeing Towns playing up on the level a little bit more, and that's kind of impeding the ball handlers from attacking the paint and getting those easy paint scores. And then at the same time, you have OG Anunoby, you have Josh Hart, your wild cards who can go out there and create havoc. And so they're getting out there, they're turning teams over, they're limiting the damage from three. And then offensively, man, look, they can sleepwalk into 120 points. The lineup is that deep.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing right now. They're looking great, man.
Yeah, no, we were talking about this yesterday, CP, and it's like at some point we knew that this defense would struggle early. And it's likely a cohesion and a coordination. You said it, you know, earlier, the communication. But every Tom Thibodeau coach team eventually figures that out, right? And it may be to the detriment physically of them because they play so many minutes to do it. But that's the piece of Tom Thibodeau that we don't give enough credit sometimes. Eventually, those guys are going to get coached to do it right consistently.
Yeah, for the guy that everybody complains about and cries about at some point in the season. I mean, prior to November 28th, they were the 24th ranked defense. Mm-hmm. And after November 28th, they ranked 7th. And I also got to give a lot of credit to the bench. You know, the bench has been playing a lot better. Precious Achiuwa in particular, his versatility, being able to play the 5, being able to play the 4 on the defensive end. And then also offensively, man, he's playing with a lot of confidence. You know, he's posterizing guys out there. And so he looks good. McBride is playing with an edge as well. He's getting his efficiency back. And so those guys are certainly contributing as well.
So speaking of Precious Achiuwa, I'm trying to figure out, Thursday's the trade deadline. It's 3:00. And, you know, every time this time of year, we're talking about, can we add this guy? Can we add that guy? But really it comes down to, what can you give up? So Mitchell Robinson has this movable contract, but we don't even know when he's going to be ready to come back. We also don't know how much trade value he has, considering he hasn't played in this long. Mm. Achiuwa is the other guy that you would think on an expiring deal, playing well, would have value. But do you want to trade Precious Achiuwa? Like, to you, when you look at this trade deadline and what you're able to deal, there also aren't a lot of first-round picks you can move. Like, you've got the fake Wizards first-round pick, but right, we know that's not a real thing. Like, considering what they're able to move and what's out there, what do you see happening before the deadline on Thursday?
I think the most likely thing that you could see is it's not Precious, it's not Mitchell Robinson, but maybe it's Jericho Sims, who's making roughly $2 million, and maybe they can get – they need a wing. I believe they need another wing who can go out there and lock a lot of minutes, play physical, play tough, and play gritty. And I think Sims could be the odd man out. With Mitchell Robinson, I mean, the same issues that – some see with him coming back here from injury, I can't see why a rival GM would be chomping at the bit to bring him in unless you're attaching one of the draft picks that they have left. And so for the Knicks, the best outcome for them is to ultimately get him back at some point this year prior to the playoffs, let him ramp up a bit, and then you have a capable rim protector, an excellent offensive rebounder once he gets back into game shape. And that's going to continue to make them dangerous.
The guy I keep hearing about, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that I don't understand the appeal in, is Jonas Valanciunas. Like, that's the name. I know Ian Begley's reported, like, they have some interest. I don't see that being a great fit for you guys. What's your opinion on that?
I like Valanciunas. He's tough. He can get you some boards. He's a durable guy, but he's not. He doesn't have that defensive grit that this team needs.
Right.
They need a guy that can go in there. I mean, honestly, right now, TD, it's so limited. Right. And as I mentioned with Jericho Sims, a guy making $2 million, it's hard to see what you're going to be able to get in return because the Knicks just don't have that wherewithal to make heavy moves this season. The best bet is to wait until the offseason. They'll have a little bit more cap flexibility where they can go out there and get someone a little bit better. But right now, the way this team is coming together, The best hope is you get a Mitchell Robinson in here. Maybe they can swap Sims for a wing pickup. If not, do they go into the veteran buyout market and bring in a TJ Warren who's playing well with Westchester or Chuma Okeke? Those are the type of guys that you're looking at. So right now, it's the best course is going to be improvement from within.
Yeah, this is not like some kind of sexy trade deadline.
Sounds like the Mets, Evan.
Well, but it's the CBA. Like, they're on that first apron, so they can't bring back more money than they're giving up.
Right.
They don't have a lot of picks to trade. It's not like the end of the world. It's just this. Like, CP's right. It's just this year. Because next year, when you get to the offseason, you got more wiggle room to add talent. And the reality is, you already have a lot of talent. You've already made the big moves. And then you're hoping, and it's a fingers crossed thing, that Mitch could actually stay healthy and give you that rim protection come playoff time. I don't know if I could trust him to be healthy, but it's probably the best course of action as opposed to trading him when his value is as low as it is right now.
Yeah, just a couple minutes is all we're looking for. And, you know, I had my guy Stephon Marbury on the show after the Knicks win over the Nuggets, and he talked about it. He said, hey, don't look for Mitch to be, you know, just Superman as soon as he gets back. It's going to take him a long time to get into game shape, get up to speed, gain chemistry with his teammates. But the Knicks have time. We're in February. Playoffs will start in April. And so hopefully between now and then, he can come back. But I got to ask you one thing, Evan.
Yes.
My guy, Mikal Bridges, man. You know, the Brooklyn Brigade, oh, man, when he was struggling, they were all over Twitter. You guys wasted their picks. They're analyzing everything. They were more concerned about the Knicks than they were about the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets still in the league.
Yes.
So tell me, how does it feel? Because it's quiet. I don't hear much noise coming from you guys anymore.
This is tough for you to understand because I know you're a Yankee fan. So I know that there are a lot of Knicks fans that are also Mets fans. And so maybe they'll understand this. We are now in a world in which the only thing we're rooting for is for you to lose, is for your ultimate demise.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen.
Well, no, that's lose right. What, they're going to win a championship?
I thought you meant lose so that your picks are more
valuable. Forget the picks. This year's pick is late 20s. We just have to deal with that. I'm talking about in general where we are is just rooting for failures. If we're being real about the Bridges thing, it is going to take, if you guys win an NBA title, it's worth every pick. That's, it's all.
Absolutely.
For us, it's about the middle schooler that may be drafted with a high Nick pick because they're struggling in 2031. You know what I mean? But you have to understand we're a bitter, sad fan base. So, of course, we're just going to root for your failures. You know what I'm curious about, though? And I want you to give me a preview.
Yeah.
So, I have watched you guys even when you win. I always say I only watch Knicks fan TV when they lose because I like to drink the tears. But obviously, sometimes after wins, I think you guys do a great job. I'll watch anyway. Not often, but I'll watch anyway. If you win an NBA championship, right, you beat the Thunder. Like it's over. It's party central. What are you going to do on Knicks Fan TV that night? Are you going to cry? Are you going to run? Like, that's because I'm looking at you. It feels like I know you so well because I listen to you a lot. I want to know, get me into the brain of CP. If by some miracle this franchise wins an NBA championship, what am I seeing and hearing on Knicks Fan TV that night?
Well, most likely I'll be live streaming from Central Booking because I'll be in the building first and foremost, and then I'll be on the marquee. And so once they take me down for, you know, disturbing the peace, I'll have to figure out a way to, you know, find an Ethernet cord from Central Booking and then do the show from there. So I'll be at the Garden and then I'll make my way onto Knicks Fan TV at some point. But, you know, this town is going to be on fire when that happens, not an if, it's when.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We shall see.
Confidence.
Now, again, for anyone who wants to check this event out, because it's awesome. It's a fun way to watch the game tomorrow night against the Lakers. It's also for charity. Tell us again what you're doing tomorrow night.
Yes. 54 West 21st Street will be at Slate NY. Doors will open at 7 p.m. This will be a charity event for the Los Angeles wildfire victims, hosted by myself and Ben Lyons. Tina Servacio from Fox 5 will also be there. And we will have silent auction and raffled items available between two Jalen Brunson autographed jerseys, an autographed Josh Hart jersey, an autographed signed basketball from Karl Anthony Towns. We also have gift packages from the WNBA, the New York Liberty, as well as Eastside Golf. So it'll be a great time. We will have the game audio over the loudspeakers, and then we will have music by DJ Eric L. Beats. So a good time to be had by all. You can get tickets at kftvwatch.com or knicksfantv.com. And also, I would, as always, extend an invitation to my guy, Mr. Barber. Tommy, you're always invited. Evan, I don't know about you. I don't want that juju. I don't want that fucking brigade juju on a Saturday night versus Lakers. I'm not ready for you to be there yet. We'll let you know when your invitation is ready.
Trust me, you don't want me there, because if God forbid you lose, I'll get my ass kicked. I'll be the guy, you know, having a good old time. Thank you, CP. Great work, and we appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you, CP. Oh,
appreciate it, man. Enjoy the weekend.
There he is, CP the franchise. By the way, there's been a lot of buzz about that glass breaking about 20 minutes ago around the New York Mets signing of Nick Madrigal. And so there are some concerned Met fans. Let's address them, including Lloyd in Suffolk County. How are you, Lloyd?
I am well, thank you, sir. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
So my thing is, immediately I thought, does this preclude us? Big word, Sean, I know. But does that preclude us from signing Jose Iglesias, OMG?
So the key question around this, so when we went to commercial break, first, I said, really, Sean, breaking the glass over Nick Madrigal? But then I said, what I really need to know is it a major league contract?
Mm-hmm.
And Sean got very nervous because I think he was rooting for it to be a major league contract. Because if it is a major league contract, like our last caller said, hey, this would be big news because it means it's the end of Jose Iglesias. So Sean's looking through Twitter like, oh, let me see, is it a major league contract? I'm like, because this is big, Sean. If it's a major league contract versus a minor league contract or a split contract, that changes everything. And Sean Morash got the answer. So, Sean, can you tell the audience what kind of contract
sure.
Nick Madrigal signed?
I got the answer, and the answer has since changed, Evan.
It's changed?
The original answer, according to Anthony DeComo, was that it was a split contract with different amounts on a major and minor league level. Madrigal has now passed his physical, making the deal official. And according to Joel Sherman, it is a one-year major league contract.
So if it's a major league contract and not split where they can send him down, because he was DFA'd by the Cubs and he's guaranteed a 40-man roster spot, I wouldn't say it ends Jose Iglesias. Right. I think it makes it unlikely. Because you only have so much space on your major league roster.
That's right, meaning people-wise, player-wise.
Now, I will say this about Madrigal, though. He has second base experience.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. He has third base experience. He does not play shortstop. And a part of the appeal of Iglesias is that if something did happen to Francisco Lindor, he can play shortstop. So what that also may mean is that Luis Angel Acuna may have a safer roster spot because of his ability to play shortstop.
What's your take on the reluctance of the Mets to re-sign Jose Iglesias then?
I think it has a lot to do with what Iglesias was probably demanding in terms of years, money, and playing time. Like, I think they view Iglesias, which I would too, as a super utility player. Mm. Iglesias hit 340 last year.
Yeah, so he wants to be looked at more as an not an everyday player, but closer to an everyday player than a utility.
He may. I mean, I'm just trying to read the tea leaves on this. His agent is Scott Boras.
Oh, there we go. That's all you had to say.
If you're asking me...
All the details, just his agent, Scott Boras.
If you're asking, would I rather have Jose Iglesias back on a one-year deal or Nick Madrigal, who's like a failed big prospect? Of course I'd rather have Jose Iglesias. Even from a versatility standpoint, Iglesias is even more versatile because he's played short, he's played third, he's played second, he's played it all. But if Iglesias is sitting there saying, I hit 340, I want a multi-year deal, and I also want to be guaranteed playing time, the Mets aren't going to do that.
Mm-mm.
So
makes sense. No.
I'm not telling you that's what's happening. I'm just using my noodle on this. Nick Madrigal doesn't have a you-know-what in. So he comes in. He's a super utility player. So Sean's really happy now because he's like, see, it was big news.
One of 26 spots on the roster. You always got to break the glass for those.
But you didn't know when you broke the glass.
It's true. Look, part of breaking the glass was we were waiting on the Alonso stuff, wanted to make him squirm. And I'm sorry, anything Met related, we always got to be careful with Evan.
Why? What am I going to do?
Because you're so squirmy with that damn phone and that damn Met chat. And you know what you... put it this way.
The reason I still look at the Met chat in the middle of shows, and I have to stop this, Teague, is I don't fully trust Sean and Tommy.
Well,
and really, Sean, because Tommy's working really, really hard, so I don't want to include you in this, bro, because the board, everything you're doing, I don't want to include
you. Tommy's also a Met fan, so it's not like he's going to intentionally lead you astray.
No, he wouldn't intentionally lead me astray. He's just also doing, no offense, he's just doing a lot more than you. So I want to put Tommy aside. I don't want to pick on him. I don't fully trust you that you're going to get everything.
Well, Evan.
So I still check the Mets.
Little inside baseball.
I know I shouldn't, though, but
as the quote-unquote third wheel of the show, part of my job is I'm the news guy. Something breaks, I got to come in and alert the audience with breaking
news. You
know
what? From here on out, phone is gone. I will not look at chats during the show.
But can you admit
this? No, hold on.
But if something gets past you,
oh, then that's a typical wearing it. Sean, you're not doing your job. You're not wearing, you know, you got to wear the L.
Just look, check your phone throughout the show.
That's it. Because
here's what's going to happen. Something's going to get past Sean 1,000%. And then we're going to have 75,000 text messages at 9 o'clock at night between Evan and Sean fighting about it they're Peter Griffin and the chicken on Family Guy. No, Sean, just let him look at the phone. You know he's going to look at it anyway. He's obsessed with it.
I do think when it comes to Met News more than any other team in this town, me and Tommy have an agreement to be a little quicker on breaking the news because we want your natural reaction on the air as opposed to being able to look down and then go, oh, that, you guys see this?
That I do agree with. But the Mets chat is also a baseball chat, so there's Yankee news in there.
It's also, as Tiki will tell you, we get a lot of football stuff from that chat, too.
So really what you need to do is, and I hate to say this, you need to delete the chat.
I can't.
You
got
to tell
chat.
These guys that sit around all day, apparently they have no jobs, as to,
They actually all have jobs.
No, I know a lot of them. I'm just kidding.
They're good guys.
No, they're good guys. They're good guys.
Actually all have jobs.
No, they're good guys.
Yeah, one of them's a nurse, man.
Fantasy
Phil. Calm down.
Fantasy Phil.
No, what I'm going to do is, see, this is the thing about Tommy and Sean. Even when they agree, they can't fully agree. Basically, Tommy said the exact same thing Sean said, which is put the phone away. Tommy circled it as, delete the chat. I will, from now on, and you better not let us down, me or Tiki or the audience, I'm putting the phone away. I trust that all sports news will be broken in a proper time by Sean Morash. Now,
thank you.
Speaking of breaking news, here's what's going to happen. Okay, I'm just going to lay it all out there. We're going to take a very quick break. It's not going to last very long.
Yes, because we have 4 minutes to put the L.
We're going to come back. If Pete Alonso is not a New York Met, this Boomer Esiason stand-up will wear an L for the rest of this show. Okay? We also have a Cinco de Fivo list that Sean will be debuting.
Also, real quickly, just so I don't get yelled at coming back from break, do you care that the Jets hired a special teams coordinator?
Yeah, break the glass.
Who is it?
The Jets have hired Chris Banjo to be their special
teams
coordinator.
That's old news. That happened like 5 days ago. Chris Banjo, I had heard about like a week ago.
Oh, I just heard the Jets have made it official in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, it probably is official, but that actually came out a while ago. So good job not breaking the glass.
Yes. All right, we got it.
Thank you very much for that. This is not going to go well. I don't trust him now. He's so nervous.
I know.
He's going to be like, oh, did you hear that Aaron Glenn farted? Please, we need to break the glass and let everybody know.
The Rangers buses have left for Boston tomorrow.
Here we go. So when we come back, there may be an L ceremony for our coworker, Boomer Esiason.